to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Hello and welcome to Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one to discuss a particular topic. It's the first time I'm hosting this show. My name's Edie and I'm here with Hayley, and we are discussing the Detective Pikachu movie that has come out recently. Hi, Hayley.
Hey, Edie. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for talking to me about Detective Become Pikachu.
Detective Become Pikachu.
Yeah, that's just my little joke.
I heard the worst pronunciation of it from an old news presenter. It was Pikachu. He's like,
it's like Detective Picasso.
Pikachu made a lot of money this weekend. Surprise, surprise, it came from a Fox presenter. So.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, don't worry. We are not going to be delving into spoilers. We are going to be talking about our views and opinions.
Trying to be super vague. We're going to skirt around issues, but not get too spoiler heavy. Yeah. Don't worry.
Try not to be too vague, because that's not very useful when you're talking about a movie, is it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So, Hayley, what were your thoughts on the film?
My thoughts on the film was that I loved the cinematography, the way everything was shot and the composition of every shot was amazing to me. And just how, there's no product placement apart from Pokemon in this entire movie. Everything is done in-house. Everything is a Pokemon brand. This is a Pokemon coffee shop. These are Pokemon sneakers. That's a Pokemon mobile phone.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I did see somebody's phone and it was actually a Pokedex, wasn't it? It looked exactly like the Pokedex that you kind of see from the cartoon.
Mm.
So that was very cool. I liked that a lot. The world building was definitely probably my favorite part. In the beginning of the film, it kind of starts out and they're on a grassy route, just in the beginning of the games. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, there's that very much traditional kind of narrative you take from the games where they're like, here's the grassy road, here's the small town, and oh, look, he's hit the big city, and then here's the main plot that's actually going to hit you. Like, here's the start of his untraditional Pokemon journey. And I love the meta-narrative. I don't know if you picked this up, the meta-narrative that goes through with this entire film where Justice Smith's character is very much a stand-in for all those people our age who got into Pokemon as kids, but aren't into Pokemon as much anymore.
Yeah, that's a really good take on the film.
And then his love interest, who I believe...
Her name is Lucy.
Lucy, and
in case you'd forgotten her name, because I had, and I had to look it up.
Played by Catherine Newton. Her entire character is all those, adult fans who are still into Pokemon, and they're still, super rapt about Pokemon. So it's they're very much play of, these are the two type of fans that we're going to have, because this is not just a film for kids, it's going to be a film for adults as well, because we know that you're probably going to take your kids to see this, but we want to give you something as well.
Yeah, the main character, Tim, is definitely the kind of character who has become disillusioned with the Pokemon world. You're shown that he did have all these dreams of being a great Pokemon master when he was young. He wanted to go do the leagues. But then for one reason or another, he just grew disillusioned. He felt like it wasn't achievable for him.
Like many of us, he got a job in insurance. He's just, I used to be a Pokemon trainer, but now I sell you insurance.
Yeah, well, I definitely felt that. I'm not in insurance, but I am in sales, and it's very not glamorous.
Yeah.
I would much rather be off with a Cubone having adventures.
Cubone's adorable.
Yes.
Can we talk about the Pokemon designs and how
absolutely
great they were?
Yeah.
They're so fantastic.
Yeah, no, they're very, very good. Every Pokemon... you know exactly which Pokemon it's supposed to be as soon as you look at it, which you'd think would be, step numero uno, but with the Sonic movie having come out and he looks very bad, you look back on the first Pikachu trailer and you're thinking, wow, they really did such a good job, and we kind of took it for granted back then.
Yeah, the Pokemon in this are just, they're straight out of our imaginations and straight out of those drawings, whereas... Sonic looks like someone's done a genetic experiment crossing a baby with a Lovecraftian horror.
Yeah.
So it's like, here's something that's crawled directly out of your nightmares, and here's something that's, you know, your childhood dreams.
Yeah.
I love, there's a little story about Mr. Mime, because you've seen the design and how weird it is. He's got dodgeballs for arms and stuff.
Yeah, like the shoulder pads are like dodgeballs. And yeah. I didn't catch that until somebody actually pointed it out to me. I was like,
so apparently the design team didn't know how to go about designing Mr. Mime.
I wouldn't.
And they approached Nintendo and being like, what is Mr. Mime supposed to be? Nintendo's like, we have no idea.
Yeah.
We don't know what Mr. Mime's supposed to be. Mr. Mime is Mr. Mime.
Yeah. I do love Mr. Mime. Kind of as a joke, like people say he's gross and stuff, so I just kind of like, how dare you say that about my boy? Like, yeah. He's my son now.
What are his secrets? What are his plans? What is his deal with Ash's mom?
No, please don't bring Ash's mom into this. There's a running gag that, like, because the character Ash from the Pokemon cartoons, you never see his dad, but his mom has, like, a Mr. Mime that helps around the house. So, where everyone's thinking, like, who's really Ash's dad? And I really hate that. It's too edgy for me. The implications. Brr.
Three edgy, five me.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
But definitely some amazing parts of the movie was just when the camera focused on the interaction of the Pokemon with the world they were in. There were some great shots of Pokemon interacting with Rhyme City, which is the town that the movie takes place in. And there's also some absolutely beautiful scenes of Pokemon interacting with nature. It was kind of seen in the trailer, a bunch of Bulbasaur, like...
That scene is adorable.
Leading the characters through the forest. It's
breathtaking.
Very beautiful. You know, that almost made me tear up, I think.
I did cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, oh my god, this is so good.
I didn't personally tear up, but I went with a friend and she did. She definitely did. The Pokemon's pretty important franchise for both of us, so What would you say your favorite background Pokemon you saw was?
One of my favorite background Pokemon, and okay, so I'm going to clarify here. My sister's the Pokemon fan. She knows the names of all of them.
Uh-huh.
I know the first, like, 151.
Yeah, the first gen, yeah.
Yeah, the first gens, like, I can name them. But anything past that, not so much. But the scene with the giant...
Torterra.
Torterra, yeah, yep. Where they just pop out of the ground. It's like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that was very, very good. My favorite background Pokemon were the urban scenes where you would see Pokemon. For instance, there was this great one of the panda Pokemon, and I've forgotten his name, but there was like the panda evolved form just playing with his kids, which were like the pre-evolution of his.
Yes, and he looked so
They were like
so
cute little pandas. Yeah, he was just like, oh, kids, you know, stop horsing around.
Some of the giant golems in the background that were acting like police, they were great.
Yeah, there was a Machamp that was directing traffic. That was very funny. And my personal favorite were when the characters go into a live music club, some Loudred, which are Pokemon that like emit sound from their like mouths and ears. I mean, it's weird. But they were making the music. They were what was playing the music.
They were the speakers. It was yeah, so good.
It was like, very cool.
Because, like, they really thought it out. It's like, this is a world where these Pokemon aren't just, like, animals. They're also objects and things and people and everything. How would they, a world that's integrated between humans and Pokemon, actually function? And yeah. It was just so well thought out.
Yeah.
I loved scenes like that.
So, we definitely both agree that the Pokemon were a fantastic part of the movie, but what did you think about the story? Because I think it could have been better.
Yes and no. I think the story is exactly what it needed, because like outside of Justice Smith's performance and maybe like Bill Nye and some of the other actors, like everyone else was a little flat, but when you play a Pokemon game, all the other NPCs are a little flat, so it's fine.
They're all quite one note, aren't
yeah.
they? They're all talking about how much they love Pokemon, how their lives revolve around Pokemon.
And this is a city where, like, literally, their lives revolve around Pokemon. So
yeah.
It's fine for some of these. I felt it fine for some of these performances to be really flat and one note and stuff, because it's a film that's for kids essentially, I would have liked to see some better performances in some areas, but generally I think it was fine.
Yeah, I think it the bones of what they had was fine, but I personally found a lot of the meat was missing in terms of making the plot actually make sense within the world. There were a few moments where my enjoyment, I couldn't enjoy it as much as I wished, because there were a few moments where I just didn't believe what was going on. I thought, well, hang on, like, why is that happening? Why was this so easily resolved? You know, what, I don't understand what this guy's trying to do. The villain of the film, whom we won't spoil, obviously, I felt his plan to be a little bit weird and weak.
It's very I want to
It's very like cartoon villain, like,
yeah,
I have a vague take over the world plan, and that's not a bad thing in and of itself, but there's just something, and I mentioned this in the review that I wrote for Detective Pikachu on Checkpoint, on the Checkpoint website, but I kind of expect more from a Hollywood movie than I do of a cartoon starring Ash Ketchum, you know? Like,
yeah,
when I watch the cartoon, I'm expecting silliness that doesn't make sense.
But there's, like, there's references to the fact that this movie exists in the same world that the games and the cartoon take place in.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels a little understandable that this is just a live-action version of the cartoon. So we don't need to really... Like, I feel the writers were like, we don't really need to give this any second thought. Like, he's... The bad guy is in a position where he wants to do this thing for his own personal gain, but he's making it seem like it's...
Yeah.
But he really just wants to do...
Yeah, I just kind of wish that it made more sense with the internal logic of the film, which is what I felt was really missing in... When I play the games and I look at the villain and what they're trying to do, it often is silly, but I don't feel like it, I at least don't feel like it kind of breaks the world. But with the motivation villain for this film, I really felt like I couldn't reconcile it with how the world's logic worked. And that's a hard thing to talk about if I'm trying to avoid spoiling the film.
Yeah, like the whole villain's plot, without spoiling the film, it's hard to skirt around. It's why I was stuck before. It's like,
yeah,
how do I describe this without spoiling it?
It's a mystery film. I guess this is how I'll put it. It's a mystery film, and you know it is because it's called Detective Pikachu, and they're trying to find what happened to Tim's dad, Harry Goodman. And the mystery is just not a very good mystery from where I stood. Like,
yeah.
I didn't expect it to be complicated, but I did expect it to be good.
Like, I think perhaps because we're adults, we're in our 20s, 30s, yeah, whatever. We're probably seeing these story cues coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
Being like, okay, so we know exactly where this is going, and we know exactly who the bad guy is,
yeah,
and we know exactly where this double cross is going to come from.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw it with my little brother, who's 12. I got to take him out for a day. It was great.
Yeah.
And he absolutely was blown away. He was like, I didn't see any of that coming. And
oh, that's adorable.
I was, oh, this is so great. Wow. This is so,
yeah,
what,
well,
a mystery.
That's genuinely good. Like,
yeah.
I don't harbor any illusions that my opinion is going to be shared by a lot of other people. And even if they do see the flaws that I see, they're probably not going to be bothered by,
yeah,
it. Even I wasn't all that bothered by it, but I'm only responding to, like, the 10 out of 10s people are giving it. I still feel like I hope we don't give this movie more props than it's owed just because it's a video game movie that wasn't bad.
I think the problem is that we're so used to video game movies being... Can I swear in this?
Nah.
No. These video game movies being poop.
Yeah.
You know, Assassin's Creed, for example.
Yes.
Michael Fassbender was, well, atrocious in that film.
Really? And I didn't see it.
It was so bad. Oh, God.
That's a shame.
So bad.
Because I feel like, how do you make Assassin's Creed a bad movie? You know, like, the first game wasn't that good, by today's standards anyway. But I feel like you can at least make the plot good.
Yeah, it was all over the place. It was terrible.
Yes.
And we're getting stuff like Prince of Persia, which is all over the shop and stuff. And we're used,
yeah,
to all of Uwe Boll's lovely films, yeah. like Postal and Blood Rain.
Yes.
And like video game movies aren't even cheesy and campy anymore in that terrible way like the Mortal Kombat series was.
Yeah, they're just kind of depressingly bad.
Yeah.
I at least enjoyed the Prince of Persia movie for what it was. I know a lot of people don't share my opinion, and it certainly wasn't like a great film.
I can't really judge. I enjoyed Van Helsing, so you know.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so we're so used to these films being terrible that when something comes along and it's actually good, not great, yeah. but good, we tend to give it the praise that more praise than it deserves. It's the same problem yeah. with when Castlevania on Netflix came yes. around. That's a good series. It's a good piece of media. It's not great, but it's good. But
I would call the first season of that great, but the second season was only good.
Yeah, the second season was only good. The first season was great. The second season, they spent a little too long in that basement.
Oh, yeah, they definitely
and bickering.
Did.
It's like, yeah, we're
in agreement
up.
On that. So, yeah, even though Detective Pikachu is miles ahead from what we're used to, I still think we shouldn't, like, call it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's more like a 7 or an 8.
Yeah, and by the same token, we shouldn't be overly harsh on it, which is, and I really want to mention that because it may seem to some like I'm being overly harsh, and I really don't want to come across that way. I'm just more or less like, I noticed these things that could have been better.
Yeah, we should clarify, we love this film.
We love this film.
We love this film.
I like this film.
There's some problems.
I love the Pokemon parts in it. Mm. And luckily, the movie does finish off with a big bombastic Pokemon fight that I really liked.
Yeah, that final scene, I did get spoiled a little in the trailers. Like, you do see kind of like who the big bad
yeah,
thing is going to be and stuff. If you know your Pokemon lore,
they did give a bit too much away.
Yeah.
In the trailers, like all the best parts, you can kind of see them in the trailer.
Yeah,
which is a shame. You can't give everything away, guys. Keep a lid on it.
Yeah. That being said, there were some interesting parts of its marketing strategy. I don't know if you saw this, but there was like a video released on YouTube that was about like the length of the actual film,
mm-hmm.
but it looked like it
yes.
came from Ryan Reynolds'
oh, yeah,
own
yeah.
personal thing.
I know the one you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and it
yeah.
starts off with like the official logo, and then it cuts to a scene that turns out to actually be from like halfway into the movie, and then it cuts to dancing Pikachu.
Yeah, and the rest of the runtime, like the over an hour long runtime, is just this animation of Pikachu dancing, and that's the humorous tone that really works well in the film. Like, that's what it does well.
And it makes people think twice when they're getting a pirated version, right? Because yeah. it's like, is this going to be Dancing Pikachu or is this going to be the actual film?
I would be happy to download that Dancing Pikachu. That song is in my head for all time now.
I've had so many people send me GIFs of that. It's just like, I'm not even mad.
It's a great GIF. Well, we'll wrap up there, but final thoughts. Do you recommend Detective Pikachu?
If you're a fan of Pokemon and you're in for want to see a good video game movie, yes.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I've had some people ask me, I'm not really a fan of Pokemon, but I've heard good things. Should I still see it? I would say probably not if you're not a fan of Pokemon. It will be just going to kind of average kids film if you're not going to be excited by the Pokemon. If you are excited about the Pokemon, then you should definitely see it because it's so beautiful.
If you want to see Ryan Reynolds try not to swear for an hour and a half.
Yes, he was really struggling with that, wasn't he?
He was so struggling. Like, you can feel it in your jellies. It's like, yeah, okay. Thanks, Ryan. But if you want to watch that, that's another way to go see it. It's just watch Ryan Reynolds really try to rein it in for an hour and a half.
Definitely worth it for that. Thank you very much for joining me, Hayley.
No problem.
And I've been Edie, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.